Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Dalet. We will start from the top of daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. So we're going to discuss, the entire daf is going to discuss today, the various items that an animal is not allowed to walk out with on Shabbos. We're going to define a lot of the terms that we use in the Mishnah to describe what an animal can and cannot go out with on Shabbos. We're going to discuss a psak about something covering an animal's udders. The Gemara is going to discuss rules involving putting camels together, avoiding klayim issues, and avoiding the appearance of carrying or walking to the market. And then we're going to get to other items in the Mishnah on Beis, all about items that an animal can't go out with on Shabbos. So we are holding. We'll start from the top in Mandalar and Aleph at the two dots. Haruchelim Yotzos Kavulos. Ruchelim are allowed to go out Kavulos. My Kavulos. What does Kavulos mean? Shemechablin al Yishal and the Mata Kadish lo Yalu Alein Zucharim. It means that they would tie the tails down so that the males wouldn't mount them. It was in order to avoid having the males mount the animals. We did, I guess we didn't want the Ruchelim to get pregnant. So my Mashma da Hai Kavul Lishna de lo Ovid Pirihu. How do we know that Kavul means something that doesn't produce peros? Over here we're saying that because it's Kavulos, it's not going to be able to reproduce. So who says kavulos means something that doesn't make peros? D'chsiv maha or me'ila asher nasata li'achi v'yikra eretz kavul ad ha'yom hazeh. That when Shlomo Melech gave a gift of cities to another melech, so he said, so what's the what are these cities? He wasn't happy with the gift, and he says, what are these cities that you gave me? He was complaining about them, and they call them Eretz Kavul Ad Hayom Hazeh. So my Eretz Kavul, what does Eretz Kavul mean? The Gemara has two possibilities. Possibility number one, Amrav Huna Shaiba Bnei Adam Shemechubalim Bekesef Uvzahav. It had a lot of very wealthy people there, people who had a lot of silver and gold. So Amrei Rava Ihachi Hainu Duchsev Kilo Yashu Beinav. So that's what the pasuk says, that he didn't like those cities. Why wouldn't he like those cities? There's so much gold and silver, you'd think it would be a great thing for him. Why would it not be Yashu Be'enav? So Mepnei Shemechubalim Bekesef Zav Lo Yashu Be'enav, how does that make sense? Amalein Kivin Da'ati Rimi Mefanki Lo Avdi Avidita. Since the people in that city were very rich, and they were used to living a high standard of living, so they weren't going to work very hard for him. The king wanted the cities because he wanted people who were going to do the Avodas HaMelech, but no one was going to do the Avodas HaMelech. Sharm Tzion Balach over here quotes from the Marsham in a Sefer Mishpat Shalom about a Maisa person bought a field from his friends, and then he discovered that it's difficult in that area to find workers to work the field, because the people in that area are very wealthy, and you're not going to find, it's not easy to find people to work out in the fields. It's a very hard job. So people don't want to work for other people. People are used to working for themselves. And in Marsham quotes this Gemara, that it could be that that's considered a mum, that the mechira would be invalid if the person had no way of knowing about that in advance, because you see that's considered a legitimate complaint. But anyway, that's one understanding of how kavul means. So I mean, it's not also peros, because he called these lands Eretz Kavul, because he has no way of making these lands produce anything, because he doesn't have anyone to work from these lands. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, a different possibility, Eretz Chomton Haisa. It's a land that's very that has a lot of cracks in it. It's not good land for planting. So why would they call it Eretz Kavul? What does the word Kavul mean? That your ankle could fall into the cracks in the land, all the way, your foot could fall into the cracks in the land, all the way up until Kavla, up until the ankle. And people say it's an Ara Mechavla that doesn't produce peros, because it's bad land to produce peros on, it's just not high quality land. So either way, we see from there that Kavul means something that's not also peros. Kavunos, we also mentioned a term in the Mishnah, kavunos, something that's fastened. So my kavunos, shemechabnos on the milas, that what they would do is they would wrap around a sheep when it's born, they would wrap around the sheep some type of covering to make sure that the wool is perfectly clean, so they can make a very fine material, very clean and pure material out of the wool. Kitznan se'es kitzemer lavan. Se'es is a color, the type of mara, of nega, that a se'es is that it looks like it's semer lovin, looks like white wool. Might semer lovin, what do we mean, white wool? So not just any white wool. Amravi barbai, kitzemer naki, ben yomo, shemen chamno, so the milas, it means like this pure, clean wool of a one-day-old animal that as it was born, they already covered it up so that no dirt and nothing, no impurity impurities would go to get into the wool, that the wool would be perfectly clean. Ve'izim yotzos tsruros. We said the goats can go out tsruros. Itmar, Rav Amar Halacha. So there were actually three shitos in the Mishnah in order to understand what's going on in the Gemara. Here you get, there were three shitos in the Mishnah what the goats are allowed to go out. So the Tanakhama says izim yotzos tsruros, that the izim are allowed to go out tsruros, which means something covering its udders, that there was something tied around the udders. Rabbi Yossi said, no, they're not allowed to go out tsruros. And Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends. Izim yotzruos liyavesh avalo l'chalev, that they can go avalo l'chalev, that they can go out tsruros if the purpose of the thing tied around the udder is to dry up the udder, that's okay. But if it's to catch whatever milk comes out, so that's not okay, then it's going to be considered a masui. So those are the three opinions that you have in Tanaim. So we're going to find in the Gemara that Keneged, the three opinions we have in Tanaim, there are three opinions in Amoraim in terms of how to paskin in that Machlokas Tanaim. So the Gemara says, Ve'izim yotzos tsuros itmar. Rav amar halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav says, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda was very clear that that's the Yeshita and the Mishnah, that it depends if it's liyaveish or l'chalav. If you're trying to dry it up, to dry up the milk from the udders, or you wanted to catch the milk in this kli. Ushmuel amar alach Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel says we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was the one who paskined l'chumra, that it's asr one way or the other, whether it's l'chalav or whether it's liyavesh, it's asr to tie something around the udders. Some have this machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, not as a machlokas of which Tana to paskin like in the Mishnah, but stam as their own machlokas, as if they don't relate to the Tanaim at all. That Rav amar liyavesh mutav lo l'chalav, Shmuel amar echad zeh ve'echad zeh asr. Same opinions, but instead of referring back to Tanaim, they just say their opinions straight out. So Tosfos raises the question, why wouldn't they refer back to the Tanaim? Rav amar liyavesh mutavim tomar, Lemamar halacha kamar. That's not the way Amoraim are supposed to work. Amoraim are supposed to paskin like Tanaim when it's already a machlokas in the Tanaim. They're supposed to refer back to that. So v'yishlomar mishum di'ika demafchiluhu l'tanai. Now, because there are some people, apparently there are some girsos of the Mishnah where the shitos of the Tanaim are mixed up. The names that are attributed to the various shitos are different names attributed to the various shitos. They switch around the names. So if you only have the statement that Rav says halacha kamar, Rabbi Yehuda, and you have a different girsa in the Mishnah of what Rabbi Yehuda holds, so you're not going to know what Rav really holds. So that's why it's important to have this other lashon where we have Rav actually paskening and Shmuel actually paskening directly. Some say it in the following context: Izim yotzos tsruros liyavish avlo l'chalev, that the goats can go out tsruros only to dry up the milk, but not to catch the milk. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira amru kach halacha. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that's the halacha. That's correct. Meaning, really, meikra din. That's true. That we should have this nuance of difference depending on what your goal was in tying something around the udders. But who's going to be able to know the difference? What your kavana was in tying something around the udders? Whether you wanted it to be dried up or you wanted to catch the milk. And since we don't know, since no one could ever know, so it's always going to be asr. Amr Shmuel va'amri la Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel halach Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Ki yasa Ravin Amr Rabbi Yochanan halach Tanakama, that we paskin like the Tanakama. So at the end of the day, you have Rav says liyavish mutav velo l'chalav. Rav clearly holds like Rabbi Yehuda that if it was there to dry up the milk, it's mutter, but to catch the milk, it's aser. Ki yasa Ravin, he said that halach is like the Tanakama, that regardless of the purpose in having the bags on the udders, it's permissible. And Shmuel, we know what he holds the maisa. He definitely holds that regardless of the purpose, it's aser. But we're not sure if that reflects Shmuel simply holding like Rabbi Yossi, that it's always going to be aser. Or really, maybe Shmuel in principle thinks that when it's liyavish, it should be mutter. But mi mapis is liyavish v'ez l'chalev. But we don't know. We can never be sure what the intent is. So we're just very cautious and we say that it's aser. Says the Mishnah, what is an animal not allowed to go out with on Shabbos? Lo yetze say gamal b'mitultelas. A gamal, a camel, is not allowed to go out with a mitultelas. Says Rashi, two possibilities while the mitultelas is, and then Rashi and the Gemara gives a third possibility. So number one, Rashi says yesh mafarshim pushla shetachas navo, something under its tail. Yesh mafarshim ardas, like a saddle cloth, something to protect it from any abrasions caused by the saddle. And on the Mishnah Rashi is va'achron near be'enai. I think the saddle cloth is correct. Because if it were something that were underneath the tail, then it would be tied on very well. There would be no concern that it should fall off. And v'taymed v'asizim yishum shem tipol ma'isi lahu. Everything that's usher in our Mishnah, the isser is that we're afraid it's going to fall off, and you're going to then carry it on Shabbos. It's not an isser of the behema carrying it. It's an isser of if it falls off, the person's going to pick it up, and the person's going to come to carry it. But then the Gemara says, "Velinira in Dibur Maschul B'Shul Yasa Mitultelas Kar Katan Malei Mochin." That it's a small pillow full of stuffing. Noslo Tachsa Zanav, that they would put under the tail. Kadeshlo Tashchis Haritzua Habasar Lefi Shahamas Hamasli Shal Gabuk Shagamel Yorid Machmir V'Yorid Klapet Savara that they would have some sort of strap in that area to tie on the bundles on the animal's back, so that strap could cause abrasions and bruising on the animal. So they would put like this pillow in that area to protect the animal. So that's what Rashi says he thinks is the real pshat. That's velinira that he says that mutultelus means. So anyway, the camel's not allowed to go out with the mutultelus. It's also lo akud, shouldn't go out with its legs tied in a certain way. The Gemara will get into what that is. What way that is called akeda. Velo ragul, and also shouldn't go out ragul, in hobbled in some way. V'chein shar kol ha-behemos, and all other animals also. It's not only camels. Lo yikshar gemal mzebezev v'yimshoch. You shouldn't tie two camels together and pull them together. Avol machmas chaval mitoch yado v'yimshoch b'vash l'yichroch. But you could, if each camel has its own leash, you could put both leashes in your hand and pull the two together, as long as you don't wrap the leashes around your hand. And the Gemara will discuss why you can't do that. So Tana, lo yesei gamal b'mitzultelus akshula b'znavo, the camel's not allowed to go out with the mitzultelus, it's tied to its tail. Aval yotzei b'mitzultelus akshula b'znavo u'b'chotarto. But if it's not just tied to the tail, it's also tied onto the hump, then it's okay. Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, yotzei gamal b'mitzultelus akshula b'shul yasa. It can also go out with a mitzultelus that's tied b'shul yasa, on the placenta, around the area where the placenta is. So la akud v'la ragul, and we also said that it shouldn't go out when it's akud or ragul. So what does that mean? Amar Rav Yehuda, akud akedas yad v'regel. Ki Yitzchak ben Avram. Akud means that its hind leg and foreleg are tied together, like Yitzchak ben Avram, like the Akedas Yitzchak. When we call Akedas Yitzchak, it means that the arm and the leg were tied together to hold him down. Ragul shelo yachuf yado al gabe zro'o v'yikshar. Ragul means that they would take one of the camel's legs and bend it at the knee, so I don't know if can we call it a knee, but bend it at the joint and tie it that way, tie it up where the bottom half of the leg is tied together with the top half of the leg. So meisvei, but don't we have a different definition recorded in the Braisa that akud shtei yadayim v'shtei raglayim, that akud means not that the hind leg and the foreleg are connected to each other. No, rather it means shtei yadayim, the two forelegs are tied to each other, or the shtei raglayim, the two hind legs. Can't mean both, because then the animal can't do anything, can't move at all. But it means either the two hind legs or the two forelegs are tied together, which is not the way Rabbi Yehuda just defined it. Ragul shelo yachav yado al gabei zro'o v'yikshar. And the Bryce has the same definition of ragul, that you shouldn't tie the bottom half of the leg to the top half of the leg and thereby hobble the animal, because the animal's only going to be walking on three legs. But the bottom line is we have a kasha, because how could Rabbi Yehuda say that it means akedas yad v'regel? We see here in this brisa, it's not yad v'regel, it's shtei yadayim or shtei raglayim. Says the Gemara, who the Amar ki aitana? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda was assuming like the following brisa: Ditanya akud akedas yad v'regel, o shtei yadayim or shtei raglayim. Akud can mean either or. Either it means tying a hind leg to a foreleg, Or it means shtei adayim, shtei raglayim, tying the two hind legs together, the two forelegs together. Ruggle, shalei yachav yodol, gav yisrael v'yikshar, ruggle, there is no machlokas about whatsoever. Right? That means you can't bend the leg in half and tie it up. V'akati lo dami, but says the Gemara, still, that braisa doesn't fit with Rabbi Yudi either. Because bishlam ha-reisha v'seif ha-nicha. The first definition of akud conforms with Rabbi Yehuda. The definition of ruggle conforms with Rabbi Yehuda. But mitziyasa kasha, but this braisa gave a second definition of akud, which doesn't fit with Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda defined akud as only being yad v'regel, tying a hind leg to a foreleg. This braisa gave another definition of akud, that yeah, Rabbi Yehuda's definition is also good, but the braisa said, tying shtei adayim shtei raglayim is also akud. So that's not exactly fitting with Rabbi Yehuda. Elhuda amar ki etana. Rather, you have to assume that Rabbi Yehuda is like the following tana. Akud, akedas yad v'regel, ki Yitzchak ben Avram. Ruggle shloyach v'yadol gav Yisrael v'yikshar. Then we have another brisa that says explicitly like Rabbi Yehuda that defines akud in only one way, and that one way is exactly the way Rabbi Yehuda defines it. V'lo yikshar gemalim. So the Mishnah said you're not supposed to tie camels together and walk them together. So my timer, what's the problem? Because if they're all on the same leash and they're all connected to each other, so then it looks like you're going out to the marketplace like that. And that's Marasayin Ishu and Shabbos. Chinga, Rashi says, is really like a dance that people would dance in circles. But he says, because in the marketplace people are walking around in circles, people are circling around the whole market, so that's why we call it a chinga. Aval Machnis, but we did say you're allowed to take the leash of two, if they're on separate leashes, you could take the leashes of two separate camels and put them both in your hand at the same time. Amar Ravashi lo shanu el, but we said you're not allowed to wrap them around your hand. So Amar Ravashi lo shanu elin klayim. So he said, yeah, this halacha in the Mishnah relates to halachas of klayim. So frankly, klayim demai. What kind of klayim? What are we talking about? Ilem klayim. So the two possibilities. First possibility is ilem klayim da adam. I mean, it's two camels. Two camels are not klayim with each other. So what's klayim? That a person and a camel are walking together. That's the iser. That just like you're not allowed to take two behemoths and have them pull a plow together. So a person and a camel aren't allowed to walk together. Vatznan, but we have a Mishnah. Adam mutrim kulam lachrosh v'limshoch. A person could do avodah together with any animal. That's not a problem of klayim. Tosfos says he doesn't understand the havmina anyway. Vim tomer, Tosfos says afilu yeyadim nami yaser tiksha demay klayim shayichacha. Even if a person were not allowed to do avoda together with an animal, still it's not shayich klayim over here. Kivin sheino moshech ba'agala b'karon, because he's not pulling a wagon over here. He's not doing any work. He's just pulling the animal. So the whole point is that when are you not allowed to have two different kinds of animals walking together? They're allowed to walk together. They're not allowed to be pulling something together, a plow. They're not allowed to be working together. So even if you were to assume that Adam is considered like a type of animal that an Adam and a camel aren't allowed to go together, but that's only if they're working. The Shabbos, but if you were talking on Shabbos, so they're obviously not pulling anything together. And you don't tell me that klayim, you're not allowed to lead klayim together, two different types of animals together, even if they're not pulling anything. Because then you would never be allowed to move a sharp sulei mukdashin even by itself. The chash of kishnei minim, because a very strange halacha about sharp sulei mukdashin, that even though it's one animal, we view it as if it's klayim, as if it's two separate minim. Because I mean parak basra demakos haman. That even though it's one guf, the Torah considers it like it's two gufim. So what in the world is going on over here? What's the hava amina? So you could have just said that, yeah, the Gemara could have answered that also, that it's not pulling anything because it's Shabbos, but it just has a better answer that what are you talking about? That by Adam it's not shayich any klayim issues to begin with. But Tosfos has a couple of other answers. Yeshlomer dach kamar ilay meklayim dadam vaduk tani b'vach lo yichroch b'chol ka'amar kudu kim nileel v'lo b'shem tzreif adayir b'yomtov v'mayri shemoshkan shum davar. So he says maybe who says that this halacha is talking about Shabbos? Maybe this one halacha in the Mishnah is talking about a weekday because it's not a Shabbos related halacha. It's a klayim related halacha. So that could be talking on a weekday, and if it's talking about a weekday, so maybe they are taka pulling something. Maybe they are pulling a wagon. Or maybe the fact that they're both pulling the ropes, that's called meshicha. That's called that they're doing some sort of work together. The leash itself is what they're holding. But says the Gemara, anyway, we don't think this has anything to do with klayim. This is not shaykh klayim by a person. Ella, second possibility, five lines from the bottom. What's the klayim? Klayim de chavalim. We're not talking about kile behema. We're talking about shatnis. That the ropes themselves, the leashes themselves, are shatnis. But didn't we learn that if you only have one connector between the tzemer or pishtim, that's not enough of a chibur to create a problem of klayim? So why is this a problem of klayim when you wrap it around your hand once? So liolam klayim de chavalim. No, it is a problem of shatness on the leashes. We're saying is don't wrap it around your hand and then tie it around your hand, because then it's going to be doubly fastened to your hand, and the tzemer and pishtim are going to be fastened together, and that's going to be a problem of shatness. Shmuel just adds that when you are pulling the leash on Shabbos, you also have to make sure that there's not at least one tefach of the leash that sticks out of the other side of your hand. Meaning, you have the part of the leash between the animal and your hand, that's fine. You can have as long a leash as you want. But the part that if you're not holding at the very, very end of the leash, and there's some of the leash that's sticking out of the back of your hand, you have to make sure it's less than a tefach. I have a ton of the Shmuel tefachayim, but didn't Tanya de Shmuel teach us that it's not just one tefach, you have two tefachim that you're allowed to make for yourself? So Rabbi, Hashadam Shmuel tefach, but Tanya de Shmuel tefachayim, Shmuel alach lemaisa asalashminim. Whenever Shmuel does that, you can see that when the Tanya de Shmuel tells us that it was really two tefachim, because that's what was said in Shir, but Shmuel actually paskins one tefach, that's because Shmuel is trying to be extra cautious whenever paskining halacha for people who are coming to ask the shayla. He was extra cautious and said, you know what, don't leave any more than one tefach, even though me'ikar adin he held that you're allowed to do up until two tefachim. In the Sefer Eshkol in Hilchos Mikvot, Siman and Tes, he collects all the places in Shas where Shmuel does this, where Shmuel says that the halacha is X, but I want you to be more machmir. You have this in Maseches Beitzah Daf Chav Tes, that Amar Rav Isha Modedes Kemach B'Yomtov and Osenes L'Tochi Iso Shmuel Oser. I've a ton of the Shmuel Mutter. Ton of the Shmuel says she's allowed to measure the flour for ingredients for something she's baking on Yontif, and Shmuel says it's Aser. So Amar Bay Shmuel Halach L'Maisa Asal Hashminan. Yeah, Shmuel was being extra machmir. And Maseches Nidachav Hei, about a woman who's Mapi L'Shvir, about giving her Yemei Tara. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, "Atol tavruv da'achi yasir," and that you have to, unless it has hairs, don't assume that it's necessarily a vlad where you can give her your meitara. The Shmuel was a big bucky in being able to identify what's a baby, what's not a baby, what has a vlad, what doesn't have vlad. Didn't matter. He was trying to be extra machmir till it has sa'aros. In Ksuba Staf Yudalit, but Shmuel says ne'amenes bo meres l'kasher nevalti. A woman is believed if she says that she was nevelis to a kasher. And nevertheless, Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda, "Atlo taviluvda adika rov ksherim." Even though mikra adin, she's ne'amenes, we try to be extra machmir. So that's the general attitude of Shmuel. And he tries to suggest, Sefer Eshkol suggests, why does he quote this in Mikvaos? Because Shmuel's going to say that you're not allowed to be tovel b'naharos. Shmuel says that nahara mikif mivrach, that Shmuel holds that you are allowed to be tovel in naharos, and yet elsewhere he says you're not allowed to be tovel in naharos. So he says, you see, this is just part of Shmuel's attitude, that when Shmuel said that you are allowed to be tovel in naharos, that's because he thought that was the halacha in Meikar Adin. But Shmuel himself actually holds you shouldn't do it, because that's part of Shmuel's general policy of being a little more machmir than the Ikar Adin requires. Okay, says the Mishnah. Ein chamor yotzei b'mardas bizman. Not the Mishnah. On the top of Nundal and Beis, the Gemara still v'atayinu v'vachli yagbiya min akarka tefach. But didn't we say that you only have to have it a tefach off the ground? So doesn't that sound like you can give yourself as much leeway as you want, as long as it doesn't hang so far down to the ground that it's within a tefach of the ground? So kitani yibechav l'debeni beni. No, that's not talking about the part of the leash that's sticking out of the back of your hand. That's talking about the part of the leash that's between the animal and your hand, that it shouldn't be so loose that it's hanging down within the tefach of the ground, because then it just looks like the animal is walking around carrying its leash. It doesn't look like you're actually walking the animal. Mishnah. Ein chamor yotzei b'mardas b'zman she'einu k'shru lo. The chamor, the donkey, cannot go out with its saddle cloth when it's not tied on. V'lo b'zug af al pi shu pakuk. It can't go out with a bell, even if the bell is stuffed up to the point that it's not going to make any noise. V'lo b'sulam shebetzavaru, nor the ladder on its neck. They would put like a miniature ladder on the animal's neck, the Gemara is going to explain, to stiffen the neck. It was like a neck brace that the animal shouldn't be able to turn its neck to be able to scratch itself. v'lo b'ritzua shebaraglo, also should look out with a strap on its legs, v'eina tarnagolim yotzim b'chutin v'lo b'ritzua shebaraglehem, and tarnagolim should not go out with chutin, they shouldn't go out with strings or any straps on their legs. What's the idea of the chutin of the tarnagolim? So the Bar Tanura says that they would tie the two legs with a small strap, so that they don't jump and break kelim. And based on that, Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Simon Shin Hei Sif Yud Zayin, Eina Tarnagolim Yotzim Britzur Shekosher Baragleim Kedei Shlo Yishabru Kelim. And the Mishnah Berurah says, because the whole point is as follows: if they were to tie up their legs so that the animal wouldn't run away, so then it would be mutter for them to walk out like that. Because anything that's there to protect the animal, that's okay. If it's for shmirah for the animal, that's okay. But since these are there not to protect the animal, it's to stop the animal from being able to break kalim, it's to protect other things, that's what's not okay. Rav Zilberstein has a shayla: if you have a behema that's a bechar, a sheep that's a bechar, so can you, and they would often, when they have a bechar, in order that people shouldn't come to shear it and shouldn't come to do anything, to do avoda with it, that you're not allowed to do with it, so they would put a little like a sign on it, warning, it's a bechar kadosh asr begiza v'avoda. So is the animal allowed to keep that sign on the animal, hanging on the animal on Shabbos? Is it a violation of Shvisas Behema to have the animal walk out with it? So he said, Pashtus is, according to the way the Mishnah Berurah explains this halacha, anything that's to protect the animal is mutter. Anything that's to protect others or other things is asr. Now, what's this? Is this to protect the animals? He says, probably not. The animal doesn't care if you do Giza Vavoda with it. The point is that it's to protect people from doing an Aveira. So it's to protect other things. That would probably fit into this halacha in the Mishnah about the tarnagol. Weiter in the Mishnah, ve'ina zecharim yotzin ba'agola shetachas ha'al yishalahen, the rams are not allowed to go out with a wagon that was placed underneath their tails, so that the tails wouldn't get scratched from the ground. Ve'ina rechelim yotzos chanunos, and rechelim are not allowed to go out chanunos. The Gemara will describe what chanunos are, three possibilities. Ve'ina egel yotze begimon, and a calf can't go out with a gimon. Ve'lo para ba'arakupar, and the para can't go out with the skin of a porcupine, something very pointy that would stop rodents from coming to try to be yonek from the parah. So they would put pointy things around the udders. V'lo b'ritzua shebein karnav, the parah also can't go out with a strap between its horns. Parasa shablazer ben azariah, so yotza b'ritzua shebein karnav shalom baratzen chachamim. But the chum weren't happy with the parah of Rablazer ben azariah, because Rablazer ben azariah's parah used to go out with the ritzua between its horns, the Gemara will explain. So my taima, k'da amran. First off, what's the reason for the first halach? The chamar can't go out with mardas when it's not tied up. So k'da amran, like we said, because we're afraid that it's going to fall off, you're going to come to carry it. It's not considered a malbush. So, v'lobuzug avol bisho pakuk, and you can't go out with the bell even when the bell is stuffed up. Mishum demechsi kamanda azilachinga. That also looks like you're going out to the market. That's why even if the bell is stuffed up, it's not making any noise. You're not allowed to go out with it. V'lobusulim shabat savaro. Also, the animal can't have the miniature ladder on its neck. Amrav Huna Beiloa. It's something that they put by the jaw of the animal. Lamai Avdile. Why would they do this? What was it for? Leichadislemaka Delohadur Chayechbe. You know, when the animal has some sort of wound and it's scabbing over, so it will have an urge to scratch the scab, to bite off the scab. So we want the animal's neck immobilized so that it won't be able to reach back and bite off the scab, because then it's never going to heal properly. So that's what they took this ladder to tie it by the neck. It was just to immobilize the neck. Can't go out with a strap on its feet. They did that so that the animal would not injure itself, to protect the animal from itself. The tarnagolim can't go out with chutin. What's the difference between a tarnagol with chutin and with ritzuos? So the Gemara says chutin means some sort of identifying mark. It was like a dog tag on the animal, on the tarnagol, so you'll know which chicken it is, whose chicken it is. V'lo b'ritzua, it also can't go out with the ritzua. Davile k'yechdo with rumani. That was done so that it doesn't break any other kelim. Like we said, that's what's paskin halach and shulchan aruch. That if it's there not to break other things, to protect other things, then that's not called the shamer, and that's going to be aser for the animal to walk out with it. Ve'ina zucharim yotzin ba'gala. These zucharim are not allowed to go out with a wagon underneath its tail. What was the point of the wagon? So that its tail would not become bruised. Apparently it has a very fatty, wide tail, Rashi says, and it would become easily bruised when it would hang down on the ground. And the Rechelim can't go out chanunos. So chanunos we didn't translate. So Rav Acha Bar Ula was sitting in front of Rav Chista, and he said, chanunos means they would take a soft cotton compress, soak it in oil, and put it on its forehead when it would go out, when they would shear it, so that it should, its body shouldn't get too cold. So Rav Chista, so Rav Chista says, that can't be, because then you're treating it, you're pampering it like marukva, as if it's like an adam chashuv, that you're treating it like this, that you're putting this compress on it. You know, it doesn't need to go to the spa for a day. So rather, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said, no, this is what chanunos means. At the time that it crouches to give birth, they would take two compresses, soak them in oil, put one on its forehead and one on the rechem, in order that it should warm up, that it should stay warm while it's giving birth. So Nachman says, okay, then you're treating the animal like my wife, like Yalta. Yalta gets treated so nicely when she gives birth. She has nurses helping her out. But why would you do that to an animal? It seems a little excessive. Ella Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says third possibility. What's chanunos? Eitz echod yesh b'krach hayam v'chanun shemo. There's a certain type of wood called chanun wood, umavin kisem, umanichna bechotma achetis atesh. They take a splinter of that wood and they tickle the animal's nose with it. They put it in the animal's nose until it sneezes, viplu darne rosha, and that causes all the bugs in the animal's head to fall off. But the animal, the violent shaking of the animal's head when it sneezes causes all the bugs to come out of the animal's head, so it was a way to clean off the bugs from the animal. So then why is that only the females? Shouldn't that be the males also? Why is it only the females? Since the males tend to butt heads with each other, males are a little more aggressive with each other, so anyway they knock off the bugs from each other's heads. So that's not a problem. But only by the females you need to come up with an etza. Shimon Nazira Amar, kisma deritma. Shimon Nazira says it's a piece of not chanun wood, it's a piece of rotem wood, a different type of wood. So the only one that actually explains the name is the Rabbanan. The Chanunos is just the name of a piece of wood. But according to the Rabbanan, Rav Huna is the only one that makes sense. But according to the Rabbanan, what does Chanunos mean? All these other different explanations of a compress on the forehead, on the rechem, how does that fit Chanunos? Now Chanunos is a lashon of Chanun v'rachem, that we do something that shows us a great sense of Rachmanus, that we're merachim and the animal by doing all these very nice things for it. An egel is not allowed to go out with a gimon. So my egel begimon, what does that mean? Amrav Huna bar nira. So Rashi explains, this means all katan shemanichon le'egel b'tzavaro she'elam l'achav frosho l'chshiyigdal. We want to train the calf, even at a very young age, about what it's in the position that it's going to need to stand in order to carry a yoke. So we put like a training yoke on the animal when it's very young. Amr Blazer, my mashmata hai gimel nishon de mecha. Where do you see that gima means something about bending down the head? Dechsiv halachu pa'agmon rosho. Because the pasuk says that do you bend your, or do you think I want you to bend your head like a fish hook? Meaning the point is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you know, I'm not interested in people coming with bent heads, but they're not really doing sincere tshuva, that it's only bachutz that they're doing tshuva, and it's not really sincere in their hearts. V'lo para ba'ara kofar, the para is not allowed to go with ara kofar, da avdila kiechid v'alim tziyali. Again, this was also the skin of a porcupine or something that they would put over the udders, and the reason they did this so that the leeches shouldn't come to suck from the para. So that way the leeches wouldn't come because they had these pointy things. V'lo b'ritzua shebein karneha. And it's also not allowed to go out with the strap between its horns. So Ilarav bein l'noy bein l'shamer. So Ilishmuel l'noy also l'shamer muti. You have to go back to that machlokas about whether noy is going to be asur also. So whether l'shmira is going to be asur also or only l'noy is asur. According to Rav, both l'noy and l'shmira is asur. According to Shmuel, if it's there for decorative purposes, it's asur. But if it's there to protect the animal, then it's going to be mutter. But we said parasa. Masel Shel Blazer Ben Azariah, the par of Reb Blazer Ben Azariah went out with the Ritzurah Shebein Karnela, and the Chacham were not too happy about it. So, frankly, Gemara V'chad the para have you lay? What, the Reb Blazer Ben Azariah only have one para that we call the Parasel Shel Blazer Ben Azariah? V'amir Rav Amri Lam Rav Yud Amri Rav Tracer Alfi Igli Hava Ma'aser Reb Blazer Ben Azariah Meidri Kol Shasa V'Shasa. Not only does Reb Blazer Ben Azariah have many paros, that there were every year he would give 12,000 for Meiser Behema. So if he would give 12,000 every year for Meiser Behema, that's one tenth of what was born into his flock each and every year, which would mean 120,000 new ones were born every year. So that's way, way more. So how could you say that he only had one para? The Velt asked the Kasha from this week's Parsha. Rashi says on the Pasuk, Vayhi li shor v'chamar, Parshas Vayishlach, Vehili shor v'chamar. What do you mean? He had shorim harbe. He had chamarim harbe. So Rashi says it's derech eretz to call shorim harbe shor. To call chamarim harbe chamar. That's the way to speak with derech eretz. So who says the Mishnah means that he had only one para? Maybe he's just speaking by derech eretz that he had calls it para. Parasu shalos min azayi. So the Iyun Yaakov says no. What's the derech eretz of saying shor v'chamar? That a person should be a little humble. He shouldn't be showing off, giving a full inventory of everything your own when you speak to people. So that's when you're talking about your own stuff. But the Mishnah is talking about Reb Blazer Ben Azariah's stuff. It's not talking about, you know, it's not him talking about his own things. So then there is no such union of Derech Eretz. So that's what the Gemara is picking on. Why does the Mishnah say Paraso as if he only has one para? So answers the Gemara, Tana lo shelo haisa, el shel shchinaso haisa. It wasn't his own. It belonged to his neighbor. Umitok shelo micha ba nikres al shmo. But because he didn't say anything to stop her from allowing her animal to go out with the Ritzua Shebein Kornel, so that's why it's called on his name, because he should have tried to do something to stop her. The Achronim bring a raya from here. The Chuvus Maria San in Simon Sadi Beis brings a raya from here that women are also mitzvah shvisas behema, because shechinaso haisa means it was a female neighbor, and he should have tried to stop her from allowing this. What do you mean? It's shvisas behema is only a mitzvah sasei. One could have said mitzvah sasei shazman grama. Shvisas behema on Shabbos is zman grama. Women are pturus from mitzvah shazman grama. Women are chayavos in kiddush. It's also mitzvah shazman grama. It's because we have a special drasha in a couple of places in Shas, the Gemara in Brachos Tavchav and Shavuos Tavchav is called Sheyeshno B'Shamar, Yeshno B'Zachar. Anyone is chayiv in Shmir Shabbos, chayiv in Zechira Shabbos. But Shvisas Behema, Meichitesi, that a woman is chayiv. But you see it right from here that she is chayiv. So why Taka is a woman chayiv in Shvisas Behema? So it could be like there's a machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran that's quoted in Shabbos Memdal and B'dapei Arif about why it is that women are chayavos in Shalashudas. So one sheet is women are chayavos in Shalashudas because Kol Sheyesh B'Shamar Yesh B'Zachar doesn't just mean women are included in Zechiras Shabbos and Kiddush. It means that anyone who's included in the Los Asays of Shabbos is automatically also included in the Asays of Shabbos. And the Asays of Shabbos don't only include Kiddush, it includes Kiddush, Havdalah, Shalashudis, and Shvisas Behema. That would also be an Asay of Shabbos, right? It's not a Los Asay, but anyone who's included in the Los Asays is included in the Asays of Shabbos as well. Well, the other Rishonim say a different reason that women are included in Shalosh Shudas. But anyway, that's the pashtus how you could explain why they'd be included in Shvisas Behema. Rav Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, Masum Bekulei to say the Moed Kol Ki Aizuga Chilufa Rabbi Yochanan Ma'ala Rabbi Yonasan. You have this group of rabbis, Rav Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Chaviva. Some take away Rabbi Yochanan and put in Rabbi Yonasan instead. But they say as follows: Kol Misha Efshal Limchol Sanche Beisav Lomicha Nitzvah Sanche Beisav. Someone who has the ability to criticize or to stop people in his house from doing an Avera, and he doesn't stop them from doing the Avera, so he's Nitva Salanche Beso. He's blamed for their failures. Ba'anche Iro, Nitva Salanche Iro. If he has the ability to stop the people in the city from doing wrong, and he doesn't, so he's blamed for that. Bekolo Umkulo, Nitva Salkolo Umkulo. If he could stop the whole world, and he doesn't, he's blamed for the Averas of the whole world. The people of the Reish Galusa are blamed for the sins that everybody does. If the Sarim did a sin, why are the Zakenim blamed for it? Now the point is that the Zakenim didn't stop the Sarim. The Rambam of the fourth parak of Hilchos Teshuva writes that when it's Efshar B'yad Limchos Ba'Acherim, whether it's a Yachid or a Rabim, and you're not Melcha, and you just leave it be, it's one of the dvarma ma'akv mesachuva. That's the whole parak is about things that get in the way of doing tshuva. The Ramah just writes in Yeridei and Simen Shin Lamedalid that even though a person does have to be mocha ba'over avera and he's nitfas poso avon if he doesn't, but you don't need to spend money on it. You don't need to sacrifice in order to make the macha. And therefore, he says the minig is to be mekil from making machos against over avera, because you have to worry al gufenu, you have to worry uma odenu, that they're going to come after you physically and they're going to come after you monetarily, and that you don't have to do in order to make a macha. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up and then Hayam and Alpha tomorrow. All right.